This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, November 3rd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. CEQA battle heats up. Vero fires up. Administration ordered to figure out SNAP plan by today, and China taking retaliatory tariffs off, U.S. says. Natural Resources Chair blasts CEQA reforms. Assembly Natural Resources Chair Isaac Bryant has pledged to fight off a new ballot proposal by the California Chamber of Commerce. Speaking at a webinar hosted by the Climate Center last week, Bryant said the initiative, quote, would absolutely gut the California Environmental Quality Act, a tool often wielded by environmental groups and other interests to block or delay projects. He called for building a grassroots and community-driven movement to, quote, keep us from doing further damage to environmental laws in the face of the Trump administration. He described the proposal as capitulating to President Donald Trump's campaign to relax regulations. But Bryant acknowledged the need to protect CEQA, quote, without making it impossible to build the things that people need. Cal Chamber President and CEO Jennifer Barrera seized on that message in a commentary Friday, arguing that, quote, it's politically popular these days to talk about making the Golden State more affordable. Yet California has fallen behind on building infrastructure due to the broken permitting process. Cal Chamber's voter initiative would still protect the environment while ensuring housing, energy, and water supply are renewed in a timely manner, Barrera claimed. Wine Country launches new water supply tool. Lake Mendocino Reservoir, operated by the Army Corps of Engineers and Sonoma County Water Agency, has adopted a new forecast-informed decision-making tool, promises to improve water supply reliability while maintaining flood protection. Forecast-informed reservoir operations, an approach that integrates modern weather and streamflow forecasting with watershed monitoring and operational modeling to guide when to store or release water. Under FIRO, the reservoir can retain an additional 11,000 acre-feet of storage when forecasts indicate low risk of an imminent storm. FIRO testing in 2019 showed a nearly 20% increase in storage without compromising downstream flows or flood safety. The tool is aimed at helping manage California's climate whiplash between drought and deluge by enabling smarter decisions going beyond 1950s era manuals. For downstream communities in the Russia River watershed and beyond, this means a more resilient water system and improved environmental flow outcomes. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. SNAP funds in limbo as administration decides how to respond to judge's orders. A federal judge in Rhode Island has ordered USDA to use its Supplemental Attrition Assistance Contingency Fund to make payments to the approximately 42 million Americans who lost SNAP benefits November 1st. U.S. District Judge John McConnell Jr. ruled from the bench Friday the government must provide the benefits. Responding to a written order on Saturday to the government's request Friday to put his order in writing, McConnell said, quote, there is no question that the congressionally approved contingency funds must be used now because of the shutdown. He noted that during President Donald Trump's first term, USDA had issued guidance, quote, indicating that these contingency funds are available if SNAP funds lapse due to a government shutdown. Those funds
would partially cover the approximately $8.6 billion needed to fund SNAP in November. President Trump posted on Truth Social Friday that the government would be seeking guidance from the court. "I ask the court to clarify how we can legally fund SNAP as soon as possible. If we are given the appropriate legal direction by the court, it will be my honor to provide the funding." McConnell said about Trump's post that, quote, "the court greatly appreciates the president's quick and definitive response to his court's order and that his desire to provide the necessary SNAP funding." He added the government, quote, "should, within its discretion, find the additional funds necessary, quote, beyond the contingency funds to fully fund the November SNAP payment." The judge said USDA can transfer money from its Section 32 commodity procurement program, which he said contained more than $23 billion as of October 8. He left it to the government's discretion whether to fully fund SNAP, but also said government needs to explain its funding plan today. Separately, a federal judge in Massachusetts came to the same conclusion as McConnell, but said she would allow administration officials, quote, to consider whether they will authorize at least reduced SNAP benefits for November and report back to the court today. Meanwhile, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says SNAP is bloated and called on Democratic lawmakers to vote to end the shutdown. On Fox News yesterday, Rollins said USDA had uncovered thousands of instances of illegal use of EBT cards and that the department had moved 700,000 people off SNAP rolls since President Trump took office. China to remove all retaliatory tariffs on U.S. ag, according to the White House. The White House on Saturday issued a fact sheet on U.S. negotiations with China last week. It says China has agreed to lift all retaliatory tariffs on U.S. ag products imposed during Trump's second term. This includes tariffs on a vast swath of U.S. agriculture products: chicken, wheat, corn, cotton, sorghum, soybeans, pork, beef, aquatic products, fruits, vegetables, and dairy products, the fact sheet reads. China responded to new U.S. tariffs in March with a 20% retaliatory tariff on U.S. soybeans and other agriculture products. Lifting those tariffs puts U.S. soybean rates at the same level as Brazil's. In return, the U.S. said it would cut its 20% fentanyl tariffs on China to 10%. The fact sheet also clarifies China's soybean purchase commitments. It said that China would buy 12 million tons in the last 2 months of 2025, 25 million tons in the three subsequent calendar years. Analysts warn, however, that logistics may not be in place to meet the 12 million ton target after several months of no sales at all. Take note, U.S. officials have been the only ones to detail the deal's contents. China has provided few specifics, particularly about agriculture. The Ministry of Commerce only says the two sides agreed to expand agricultural trade. Here's today's final word. The hard thing now is, how do we fund this? That Christina Garcia, CEO and founder of Konectate Green Strategies. During a webinar for the Climate Center, Garcia called for the legislature to tap into cap-and-trade dollars to set carbon sequestration targets for natural and working lands. As an assembly member, Garcia authored AB 1757 in 2022 to establish the targets in state code. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, November 3rd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chuck Allen.